Good morning. If you'd like to take your Bibles, we're going to be, we'll start with Genesis chapter 3, and we'll be moving around a little bit. First lesson, boys, when you get up to preach, empty out your Bible of all loose papers and such. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, thank you for this time. We just pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts this morning. We pray you'd encourage our mothers. And Lord, that we as dads, men, young men, girls, Lord, we would just all honor our mothers today. Especially want to pray, Lord, for those whose mothers have departed. Lord, as they remember today, that you would just give them more memories. So bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I was looking up some of the meaning of the word, or the origins of the word of Mother's Day, and there's this one lady, of course, most things originate in the States, at least that's what Wikipedia says. But anyway, modern Mother's Day, one lady's name is Julia Howe. She advocated a celebration of Mother's Day, and she was also the person who wrote the Battle Hymn of the Republic. So I don't know if there's something going on there or what. There's another lady who formally influenced her church in Boston to honor mothers, and she picked the second Sunday in May, because that was the anniversary of her mother's passing. And she had influenced, wrote a lot of letters to prominent people, and to the point where President Wilson in 1914 established it as a national holiday. But by the 1920s, Anna Jarvis was a little distraught about what happened to Mother's Day. It became this big commercial enterprise, and she was advocated against it. She even got arrested one Mother's Day, 1923, at a war mothers' convention for disturbing the peace. And she wrote, she called the Mother's Day card a poor excuse for the letter you were too lazy to write. So she didn't really cotton to the modern idea. But we're not here to commercialize. We're here to honor mothers. And today's an important day. We're talking about Bible camp, but we're also talking about mothers. And so this is a day for all mothers, young mothers, that we have lots of young mothers. We're so privileged in our church to have a lot of young mothers. We have a lot of grandmothers in our church. We have a lot of blended family mothers. We have mothers who are going through struggles. We have mothers who are far from. How many of you Jamaican ladies are mothers? So you're all missing your kids today, and they're all missing you today. And we don't often hear the phrase, used to hear it a lot, don't hear it much anymore, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. When's the last time you heard that phrase? That was pretty popular when I was young, because it was just stressing the idea of the importance of mothers. Who influences you and me more than our mother? Very, very few people. And I was trying to, look up the etymology of the word mother, and I really couldn't find anything I liked. So I just looked at the word, and I realized it's just simply an M plus other. And if you want to just understand what mothers are all about others. As Jerry said in Genesis 3:20, it says, Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all living. And that's what it simply means. It means living. It means to give life and to keep alive. And that's what mothers do. They not only give birth, but they keep us alive. So the first thing I want to look at is a mother's calling, and it's simply to give life and to keep alive, doing the job, but a deep caring that comes from being a mother. I watch nature shows once in a while, and they're a little more progressive than when I was a kid. I remember the one I used to watch when I was a kid, Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. How many of you remember that? And I can't remember the buddy's name, but he would say, I'll send Tom over there to chase the water buffalo, and I'll go over here and hide behind the blind. And he was always sending this guy out to do the dangerous thing. Yes, that's him, yeah. But anyway, nature on PBS is a little more progressive. One of the things they do is they do a good job of I guess, raising the standard of animal intelligence. Because animals are not the dumb animals, that we were once taught, but animals are quite intelligent. So I watched The Birth of an Elephant. And, of course, the mother elephant doesn't have arms. There's nobody there to catch the baby, so the baby just falls out from quite a height, I might add. Just boom. It's the baby on the ground. 250-pound baby elephant. That's how much they weigh. So here's this chubby baby elephant. He's just kind of cute. And there's all these other elephants around. And what they were trying to do, the mother's trying to get to the baby, but all the other mothers are trying to pick the baby up with their trunks, and they're nuzzling the baby and bouncing the baby around, and the mother's trying to get in there, but she can't because all the other trunks are going. And then this bull elephant sees an opportunity, and he's coming over, and he's looking for something, and they're trying to get him out of the way. He's just in the way, and as he's leaving, he finally gives up, and he's leaving. He just goes, boom, and he boots the baby elephant with his big foot. And you know, and this poor baby elephant is just still trying to struggle to his feet to get up, and that's just kind of how it is, isn't it? Babies come into this world. Your first hour of life. Just thank the Lord you're not a baby elephant. Proverbs 31. Now, I take a risk in bringing up Proverbs 31 because a lot of Christians, they go, Proverbs 31 woman, that's the impossible perfect woman. But I think it's got some things in it that we can learn from. And this is really, I think, describes what I know about mothers. It's Proverbs 31, verse 27. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. That word watches over it means to be a lookout. So mothers aren't just, you know, looking out or checking out what needs to be done, but they're looking out and watching over everybody in their household. Mothers just don't do household things. They take care of souls. They take care of people. Mothers are on the lookout for any danger, whether it's an animal mother or a human mother. Mothers are protective, and they look after their young. They're looking out for any danger, but also any sadness. If they see anything that's not right in their child's life, they just attune to that sort of thing. They fix our hurts, and they soothe our souls. And one of the things about mothers is they always believe in us. When I was a young rebel and wasn't going anywhere, my mother still believed in me. And that meant a lot, and still means a lot today, because she was just always there as an encourager, even though I probably deserved something else. I don't know if any of you ladies have read this book, Captivating, and this is just a little booklet, really, about being a mother. And there's just some things in it that I wanted to share. Because Lillian prayed it, and I think it needs to be said at the forefront. I briefly want to speak to all women here, not just mothers in the traditional sense of the word. As powerful as the role of mother is, the word mother is much more powerful when used as a verb instead of a noun. Now, not all women are mothers, but as image bearers of God, all women are uniquely called to mother. As daughters of Eve, all women are gifted to help others in our lives become more of who they truly are, to encourage, nurture, and mother them toward their true selves. In doing this, women partner with Christ in the vital mission of bringing forth life, and all women are life givers. So I hope that you ladies who are not mothers in the physical sense here today, we do acknowledge and celebrate that you exercise those qualities in a lot of ways. I asked our youngest mother, our newest mother, I should say, to give us a perspective. I could have asked, there's all kinds of young mothers here, and I just thought, well, I'll ask the newest one, and that was Courtney, Julian. But what it's like to be a new mother. She had a baby the past winter, and little Deegan is, how old is he now? 4 months, right? He's really grown. And so I asked her, what's it like to become a new mother? Because I really don't know. This is a bit of an education. And I'm just going to read the whole thing because she did such a good job of writing it. What is it like to become a new mother? People ask, are you happy, anxious, terrified? Is new motherhood joyful, difficult, exciting, fun, challenging, fulfilling? I say yes, it is all of the above. Well, but the fun part, but I hear that comes later on. I found new motherhood to be both awful and wonderful at the same time. It's definitely overwhelming, and it's definitely amazing. Bringing home that new baby is something indescribable. You have so many hopes and fears. You feel so blessed by God's miraculous creation. But you worry that you won't have what it takes to mother a child the way you hope to be able to. And I guess the point is you probably don't. Not without the constant reliance on the Lord. This was my first and ongoing lesson in motherhood. Trust God. This child is ultimately His, and I have the blessing and opportunity to raise him. I admit, first thing, this can't be done right without him. I need to trust and rely on God every day in order to be a successful mom. The second thing that God showed me as a new mom wasn't pretty. It was my own selfishness. Not the surface type of selfishness either. Not being greedy or stubborn in wanting my own way, but the deep-rooted selfishness. The one that is annoyed when my own needs, even legitimate ones, are no longer of importance. Never before had I truly honestly put someone else before myself. How humbling. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. That reminds me of something, and it's Justin. Justin must be up with the kids. I was going to ask Justin, what happens when the baby cries at night? Does he lay there and wait till she hears and pretends he doesn't hear, but I won't get to ask him that. Having been guilty of that on many occasions. And so who gets up? Well, it's usually the mom, and most mothers have that unselfishness about them. Why? Because they have to give it away. For someone who always dreamed of being a mom and once married had hoped and prayed for the blessing of this role for what seemed like forever, I have given it a lot of thought. A lot. And I definitely acknowledge that it wouldn't be easy, but there's absolutely nothing that can prepare you for the reality of a newborn baby. This is a whole person you are responsible for. The learning curve is insane, and the first few weeks of parenthood are thankfully a blur. Even as much as I had prayed for and desired this new life, a part of me still said, what was I thinking? What did I get myself into for the rest of my life? I'm pretty sure all moms think this at one point, at least the honest ones. Visions of cuddling a sleeping baby and playing peekaboo as it coos at you, well, that is you visiting somebody else's baby. You're pretty funny, Courtney. But as challenging as times can be, you still drag yourself out of bed in the middle of the night to care for your child the best you can and as lovingly as you can at 3 a.m. Love and action. That is another huge lesson God shows the new mom. You love your child by doing. You are nurturing, teaching, and caring for your child. You are loving them. You are loving them even when the feeling may not be there at the moment. We all know this is how we are supposed to love in marriage, friendships, and any relationship, really. But motherhood almost forces you to display this type of love. Life depends on it. Final thoughts. One of the most wonderful parts of being a new mom is discovering, in a more real sense, the parent role of God. I've learned God's love for me in a whole new level. I knew God loved me unconditionally, but never really understood how unconditional really was. I love my baby when there is no reciprocal response. You don't love your child because of how good they are or what they do for you. You simply love them because they exist. We are God's children, so put two and two together. Of course, I've heard this before, but it's one of those things that until you are a parent, you can't really begin to grasp. And I say begin because it's still hard to grasp, since God's capacity to love is far beyond my own, even for my own child. However, being a new parent, I'm learning to believe with my heart and not just my head that the Father really just loves me, no matter what. I think that except that fact alone is just as life-changing as welcoming home the new baby. Thank you, Courtney. That was really, really well said. And I just thought of something. We could just pop that into Project 365, I think. Yeah. How many of you ever sailed before on a boat? A few of you. Well, in a way, mothering is like setting sail. Courtney and April and you young mothers, you're setting sail on a whole new journey. Now, I've sailed and I love sailing, but I'm a coastal sailor. I like to see land. I've never yet sailed where I couldn't see land. And I love reading stories about sailors who never see land for months at a time, the sailors who, you know, that Volvo around the world race where they cross the Southern Ocean in the 40-foot waves, and, you know, guys who cross the North Atlantic in a 26-foot boat. And I read those and I say, I will never do that. But I just want to say to you young mothers that don't let those of us who are afraid or have, you know, encountered the rogue waves of parenting to dissuade you from your journey. Because mothering is not a coastal journey. You're going to sail the South Ocean and you're going to sail the North Atlantic. And we just thank God for you. And it's worth the journey, even with the difficulties. I want to read a quote here, and in this great little book, she talks about the irreplaceable, essential, powerful, life-impacting role of a mother. And it's a quote from G.K. Chesterton, who's a Christian writer from 100 years ago. This is what he says. To be Queen Elizabeth within a definite area, deciding sales, banquets, labors, and holidays. To be Whiteley, I don't know who he is or she is, within a certain area, providing toys, boots, cakes, and books. To be Aristotle within a certain area, teaching morals, manners, theology, and hygiene. I can understand how this might exhaust the mind, but I cannot imagine how it could narrow it. See, because a lot of people think that just staying home and looking after your children is something small and insignificant. How can it be a large career to tell other people's children about the rule of three and a small career to tell one's own children about the universe? How can it be broad to be the same thing to everyone and narrow to be everything to someone? No, a woman's function is laborious, but because it is gigantic, not because it is minute. Well, that was a really good quote. Isaiah 49, verse 15. Says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? And we would read that and we'd say, is God saying, of course not. It would be unheard of. And, you know, we know the rare stories of bad mothers, but this is what God has planned for a mother's heart. And I believe the same thing is true for men as for women. Patrick Morley was, famous for saying, no man sets out to fail and no woman sets out to fail. And God has put into a mother's heart this sense of compassion. This word, raphim, means to love deeply, to demonstrate mercy. And that's what this newborn, these new babies, they call from us. When a new baby is not feeling good, it's very perilous. You wonder, what possibly keeps this little child alive? And so out of this great mercy that God pulls out of a mother's heart becomes a life of mercy, a wealth of mercy. But it takes us so much energy. April had emailed me and she said, you know, she kind of had forgotten something. And she even, you know, when she was bathing Aiden the other night, she put him into the bath with his diaper on. I mean, it's just kind of like you're just not all quite with it at times, right? It just takes a whole lot of energy. What's that?
Then you weren't supposed to tell everybody.
Oh. Listen, you tell me something's fair game. That's... I thought that was really cute. And I bet Aiden did too. He probably loved it. You know, the first years raising the children are so great and they're just so adorable. But then the kid years start. And that's a whole new thing. And what I mean by the kid years, it's the school age years. And let me just read, she quotes a song. I don't know who this guy is. I'll just read it. On his CD, Deep in the Jungle, Joe Scruggs sings a fabulous song called, By the Way, about this childhood phenomenon. He sings of a child who, running late for school, remembers to tell his mother, oh, by the way, I need an orange juice can, 4 cotton balls and 6 rubber bands. And by the way, I'm an angel in the play. I'm going to sing and I need some wings. And mothers make it happen. Mothers just make life happen. Then come the teen years. And that's when, you know, the idea, you know what a rogue wave is, right? A rogue wave is when you're out on the ocean and all of a sudden this monster wave comes up that doesn't belong. It's just bigger than all the other waves. And it can sometimes knock a ship over if it hits your broadside. And that's sort of what happens with at least some of the teen years. They tell us that 1/4 of all children are compliant. So what does that say about the other 3/4? Well, if you have 4 children, Dennis, how many compliant children do you have? Do you have one? One would be good. God designed people that way. It'd be great if God designed everybody to be compliant, but God did not design people that way. And that's how we need to deal with people. Now, I read this out of the resolution study book for men, and I read this and I thought I just needed to say something about this. Because I believe in what they are saying, that parenting is so important, you must dedicate yourself and rely on God to do the best job you possibly can. It demands our best. And they said the direction of your kids' dating, marriage, career, service, leadership, faithfulness to God and His church, and ultimately their parenting, will be a direct reflection of you and the marks you leave in their lives. And I wouldn't disagree with that, but I want to say this. We need to remember that we have a problem with sin, and we are trying to raise people who have a problem with sin. And we have to remember the Garden of Eden. God, who is the first parent, gave His children their free will, and they chose to disobey Him and to make moral choices that weren't wise. And I want to tell you that when your mothering journey gets broadsided by a rogue wave of free will, your refuge is not found in your ability to parent. Your refuge will be found in the arms of Jesus Christ, your shepherd. Ezekiel chapter 18, I think we need to remember this in the whole idea of parenting and mothering. I'll read from verse 19. Yet you ask, Ezekiel 18:19, why does the son not share the guilt of his father? Since the son has done what is just and right and has been careful to keep all my decrees, he will surely live. The soul who sins is the one who will die. The son will not share the guilt of the father, nor will the father share the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the wicked man will be credited to him, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against him. And I think in Captivating, Stacy Eldridge says it well. I want you to read this. I want you to hear this, mothers. Your identity as a mother and as a woman is not based on your children. It is not based upon other people's opinion of you. It is based solely on you belonging to the God of the universe who loves you with an everlasting love. Your children are not the report card on your life. If your search for love and security is still tangled up in your adult children, you will not be able to love them well. And I think this would be pertinent advice for any parent whose children have grown up and they have some regrets. We all have some regrets. We all have some things we wish we had have done, things that we should have done and ought not to have said or done. Ask them how they perceived you mothered them. Listen to their stories. Ask for forgiveness. Pursue them now and love them now. It is not too late. I tend to believe, she says, that all the sorrows in my children's hearts are my fault. If I had parented them better, they would not have struggled with whatever. And then she asks, is that God's conviction or the accusation of the enemy? Well, I believe according to Ezekiel 18:20, it's the accusation of the enemy. Because God holds people accountable for their own sin, not for other people's sins. And you need to hold on to that. And we need maybe to apply Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So mothers, young or old, if you feel condemnation and you're trusting in Christ as your Savior, you need to realize that God is not condemning. It's the enemy that condemns. So all the hardships and burdens, they do serve something. I had a few mothers tell me this spring, I'm exhausted. And it is exhausting work. But that work builds a great heart of mercy. But the third thing, the final thing, a mother's joy. Her family rises up and calls her blessed. Our daughter Jenny Lee turns 28 in June. So we're into chapter 28. That's how I look at my kids' lives. It's like it's this ongoing book, and we're in chapter 28. The early chapters were great. I think back often to Jenny Lee taking her fishing and seeing her in the school or the Christmas concert when we were next door, and how cute she was, and just so bubbly and full of life, this little blonde-haired fireball. And what a privilege to raise a little daughter like that. Some of the later chapters were a little more difficult. Knots in your stomach and sleepless nights. Most of you mums have had a few of those nights. But you know, I realized it afterward. Of course, it's always afterward you realize these things, that she had a few rogue waves hit her, like we all do. I don't think teenagers set out to make our lives difficult. Life is difficult. And sometimes you get broadsided when you're not expecting it. Sometimes you get things in your life that you didn't ask for. But in chapter 28, she's getting married. And it's going to be good. We're just planning the wedding. And we were talking with her last night. We said, now, Jenny, it's May 11th. You're getting married in 2 months. There's just some things we need to settle on here. Because she's got this, she's out in Saskatchewan planning this Nova Scotia wedding, right? And it's, you know, everything's possible when you're that far away. And I asked Glenda about this. You know, Glenda wants to make it the best day of her life. And she said, you know, I just want to say yes to everything. I just want to say yes to everything and make it special. God has got a lot of chapters. And no matter where your children are in their story, he's not finished writing the book yet. God's got all kinds of chapters left. Maybe 20, 30, 40 or more. So we ought not to lose heart. We ought to just trust God and pray and love our children, just like we always did. I just want to finish up with a few important scriptures. One is Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long. Just to put a period right there. I hope you do that today. Mothers, I hope you get honored today. And we are commanded. It's not like, okay, it's a command. I asked a couple of the boys yesterday what they were doing to honor their mom. And she said, well, she's working today. And I said, well, did you make her a card? Oh, and they told us about the cards that they made at school. And, you know, those are the best things. That's what touches a mother's heart the most. Jesus repeated, you know, the same command. So it's a lifetime responsibility. Let's go to Proverbs 23 for a second. You want to honor your mom? Here's a good way to do it. Proverbs 23, I'll read 24. The father of a righteous man is great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice. You want to make your mother happy? How many of you want to make your mother happy? Of course you do. Be wise. Choose wise things. Act wisely. Nothing will make her happier or give her more joy. Another verse here for moms, that I think this is where dads need to make sure this happens. Okay, dads, you need to make sure this happens. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And I think dads need to make sure that moms got time and opportunity to guard their heart. That they have time and opportunity to renew themselves in things they like to do. And have time and opportunity to be by themselves, to be away from the home, and to renew their strength. I think dads also, and men, we need to encourage us, since God, we are given the spiritual leadership of the home. What do we need to do? Well, we need to remind our wives what Jesus said in an encouraging way. I've told you these things, John 16:33, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And we need to give that to our wives, that encouragement, so that they will take heart and know that Christ is their peace. And back to Proverbs 31, we'll just finish up with these verses. Verse 28, her children arise and call her blessed. Later today, we're going over and we're going to take my mom out to dinner with my brother's family. I'm going to rise up and call her blessed. That's what I'm going to do. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. If you're a mom here today and you don't know the Lord, I don't know how you could continue on and not turn to the Lord. Life is difficult. And if the Lord is your shepherd as a mom, then you have a rock to stand on. You have a God to depend on. You have a Savior who will rescue you from the guilt of your own sin. And you have hope for the future. All that is possible for those who fear the Lord. I hope you consider that today. I just want to close with a short video. I saw this, and Glenda found it, and I watched it, and I thought, that's what it means to be a mother. Yeah, you may have seen it, but it doesn't need any commentary. You just watch and learn that you're going to get there in the end, okay? Don? Not going to happen? Oh, dear. I have to tell you about it. It was one of those traffic helicopters in Toronto. And you can go on CTV News and you can probably find it. Wait, here we go. Here they go. It's a mother and a bunch of ducks. The ducks are everywhere. I think you mothers can relate, eh? You can relate. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for our mothers. Lord, we rise up and we call them blessed, and we thank you for our moms. God, I pray you just bless them today that they would just have not only the blessing from their families, but know, Lord, that they have the blessing of God on their lives. And Lord, it's a hazardous journey at times. It's filled with pitfalls and unforeseen things, but Lord, there's such great joy in it. Lord, you do such a great work in a mother's heart. And God, we just pray you'd encourage and bless them today. And Lord, may our mothers continue to rely and trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.